Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day of celebration, bless us with your Spirit and enable us to hear your word to us this day. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Genesis, the first chapter, beginning with verse numbered 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whom do people see when they look at you? When our son Nathan was about 2 years old, we took him to downtown Charleston, South Carolina, so that he could meet Santa Claus. We stood in line for a while and slowly made our way up to the majestic throne. And there, right beside Santa Claus, was Mrs. Claus. Mrs. Claus had a southern accent. She looked at us, and then she looked at Nathan and said, "You are the spitting image of your mama." And before I could stop myself, I gently grabbed her arm and said, "Woman, are you crazy or what?" Everybody knows that Nathan looks just like me. What was wrong with this woman? I don't get it. And would you believe that for some reason, a reason that escapes me, Nathan has never wanted to sit in Santa's lap. Never. Ever since I had that little conversation with Mrs. Claus, he never, ever sat in Santa's lap. And at 22 years old, I don't expect it to happen anytime soon. Whom do people see when they look at you? Do they see your mother's smile? Your father's nose? Do they see your aunt's flair for creativity? Do you have your uncle's wit? Whom do people see when they look at you? Could it be that they see God? Maybe. Maybe. At least that's what our scripture reading this morning leads us to believe. God has created the night and the day, the birds and the animals, the mosquitoes and the ticks, and then God creates humanity. God says, "Let us create humankind in our image," our image. The word is plural here, and it suggests that God is talking to his royal retinue, his heavenly court. He's looking around. Let us create humanity in our image. We are created in the image of God. But what does that really mean? Interpretations have differed throughout the generations. Some have said that this means that we bear a physical resemblance to God. Some have said that being created in the image of God means that we have the ability to think and to reason, and this is what separates us from the animals. Others have said, no. What it means to be created in the image of God is to be put in a position of authority, dominion over all the earth. And unfortunately, as some of you know, this has been interpreted much too often to mean domination rather than nurture. Others have said, no, to be created in the image of God means that we are free. We are self-determining. We are self-transcendent. In one way or another, all of these interpretations of the image of God, the imago Dei, as it's put, fall short. In one church that I served, after the worship service on Sunday mornings, we would gather on the front steps. It was a small congregation. About 20 people showed up on average on Sundays. I remember well my last Sunday there. We stood on the front steps. It was in the summer. And the conversation went like this. We asked Mary how George was doing in his struggle with Parkinson's. Butch and Cynthia had just moved to a new house on the lake. Do you like the new house? How's the transition coming along? Jimmy's mother had died that long ago. And so Jimmy, how are you doing? What was it like to sit with her in her last days? There were a couple of people I hadn't met before, and I chatted with them briefly. Front porch time is what we called it. Time together. Time to catch up. Time to share, to care, to listen. We do the same thing here in our own way, don't we? We don't gather on the front steps, but we talk among and between one another during the worship service and the greeting. How are you? How was your week? In Coffee Fellowship, we do the same thing. In our sharing of joys and concerns, we're expressing concern for one another. Our deacons provide other opportunities for our congregation to come together in smaller groups or larger groups. And I would even say that in my year with you, the strongest need that I have discerned, the deepest desire, is for more opportunities for you to get together so you can know one another and live in community. I have sensed that since day one, this interest, this passion, this desire to walk together as a community. Front porch time. I once read that front porches are actually a thing of the past. You know that the manse built in 1865 has a wonderful front porch. I love it. With front porches, people would sit on them in the afternoon or early evening and talk with neighbors as they walked by. People would visit and spend time together. But front porches have been replaced by what? Backyard patios and decks. This article lamented how our society has changed. For patios and decks are places of escape and solitude, and front porches are places where the community can gather and people can share. Front porch time. That's another way to describe what it means to be created in the image of God. We are created for front porch time. In his book, Faith Seeking Understanding, the theologian Daniel Muir Laurie puts it this way: to be human is to live freely and gladly in relationships of mutual respect and love. That's what it means to be created in God's image. We are created for one another. We are created for community. We are created for relationships of dignity and respect and love. Some of you will remember Tennessee Williams' play, A Streetcar Named Desire. We meet two broken, lonely individuals, Mitch and Blanche. They encounter one another, form a bond, and spend time together. In one scene, Mitch draws Blanche tightly into his grasp, and he says, "You need somebody, and I need somebody. Could it be me and you, Blanche?" And she stares at him vacantly for a moment, and then with a soft cry, she sort of nestles her head into his shoulders. She doesn't say anything. He kisses her forehead, her eyes, her lips. And then she says, "Sometimes there is God so quickly." Mitch and Blanche might be more like us than we ever want to admit. Created in the image of God means that we have been created to be in caring and loving relationships with others. It means that we need one another and that our lives will always be empty and incomplete if we seek to travel all by ourselves or wrapped up in our own desires and wants. Created in the image of God means that the sharing of joys and sorrows, the sharing of our questions, the sharing of our doubts, the sharing of our concerns, the sharing of our lives is what life is all about. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And what do we see when we look at Jesus? The very same thing. In Jesus, we see a God who is committed to relationships, a God who welcomes men and women, the young and old, insider and outsider, rich and poor, clean and unclean. In Jesus, we see a God who breaks all social norms and customs and traditions to make sure that everybody is included. We are created in the image of God, just as Jesus is. Do any of you enjoy channel surfing? I think the TV remote control is the most important invention in history. I absolutely love it. I can sit in front of my TV and go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and I can be on a station for about 2 seconds and nope, I don't like that, and keep on going. One evening, I surfed into an old episode of Little House on the Prairie, and I ended up watching some of it. In the episode's closing scene, Mr. Ingalls, Charles, Mr. Edwards, and two companions get on a train, and they plop down in their seats with a sigh, so glad to be resting at last. A conductor comes through to take up their tickets. He takes their tickets, and then he says, "No, you can't be here." And they protest. "We have our tickets. What do you mean?" "Oh, the three of you can be here. You can't be here." Their companion was African American. And so with defeat, the man gets up. The friends are protesting. The man stands up. "It's okay. It's all right." And he goes back to the freight car and he plops down on a bag of wheat. And then the door opens. And Charles and Mr. Edwards and their other companion come and plop down beside him. Created in the image of God, created for relationship, created to travel together, even if that means breaking the norms and expectations and traditions of our society. You are created for community. How might we celebrate this community and continue to invite others to come in and share the good news that they too, are loved and belong to God? That's our question. Let us pray. Gracious God, give us the desire and the courage to leave our seats and go to the freight car and plop down beside those who are ignored or put down or put out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.